you know, a guy would never ask out after just signing a 5-year max contract. Who the hell knows anymore? Okay, so Dallas, you know, loses in the first round again.
Well, welcome back, basketball fans. You're watching or listening to the Business Casual Basketball Podcast. Very happy to be back on the mic with you guys. It's been a couple weeks since I've been back to my regularly scheduled programming, but we're back in action, back like we never left. Excited to get through some off-season content as, you know, me and my man Daniel here were talking about it before we went on live, and we're just saying, like, it's crazy how the draft and free agency, it seems like it's been so long already, you know, where it's only been maybe like a month or so since this stuff happened. So we're at the point in the off-season where we're just trying to gather some content wherever we can. We're trying to get our fix where we can. And that brings us to two topics that I wanted to discuss with Daniel on this podcast. But before we do that, Daniel, thanks for taking the time, man. Always enjoy having conversations with you about basketball and the Knicks and things of that nature. So I appreciate you, man. I'm excited to get this going.
Of course. I'm always happy to talk basketball. I haven't spoken basketball with anyone, but like we just said, it's been months. And so like, I haven't really spoken about it with anyone in a long time. Yeah. So when you messaged me, I was very excited, and I'm glad we were able to find the time.
For sure, man. For sure. And I'm sure you've had that urge, and you know, you're just looking to fill the gap where you can. So I'm glad that I can kind of give you that outlet to help address that.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. So Daniel, guys, he has some words going up on the Celtics blog right now. And then he also put some words on medium.com. So really good articles, pretty much anything you can think of. If it's Marvel related, you know, he's definitely into that content. You know, a lot of shows out there that he's really diving in on Medium. So I'll let you kind of plug that a little bit more at the end of our podcast, man, because I'm sure you want to let the listeners know about that. Real quick, before we get into our scheduled content for today, there's a few sponsors for Unwrapped Sports that I wanted to shout out. Of course, we have teespring.com with some products available for each of our podcasts. We have things like t-shirts available. We have stickers. We have phone holders, cases, whatever you guys are looking for, pretty much we have you covered. So be sure to check out teespring.com/store/unwrapped for all that content. And hopefully you'll rock with us, rock some apparel. You're looking fresh while you do so. We also have a VIP program available at patreon.com/store/unwrapped sports. So if you guys want to dive in over there with our three VIP tiers, that allows you to kind of get more access with us and some special content, some special prizes. If you guys are interested in that, it's another way to support us. We really appreciate you guys if you jump on board with us as we attempt to bring you the best sports content on the internet right now. MyBookie.ag is another sponsor of ours. They have a code USN100 they let us use for 100% sign-up bonus. So if you guys are looking to get into the betting game, if you want to bet on UFC fights, you want to bet on NFL, when the NBA comes back, if you want to get into that, they have you covered over there. So check out mybookie.ag if you guys are interested in betting and you want to get a head start if it's your first time participating. And then lastly, we have rxhemp.com. So they have a code rxhemp-usn that gives you 10% off your entire order. So if you guys are looking to get some recovery products, recovery cream, you're coming off an injury, something like that, they got you covered over there. So be sure to check out their products if you're looking to get back in the rhythm of athletic activities, if you're trying to stay active, whatever the case may be, they're going to take care of you over there on their website. So Daniel, let's do it, man. Let's look at, first of all, some breakout candidates for 21-22. So we each made a list of a few players that we believe are going to have big seasons coming up here for a variety of reasons. I'm sure some of our guys will be a little bit younger, some might be a little bit older, but whatever the case is, we think these guys are ready to take the next step in their career. So, Daniel, I want to give you the floor as my special guest. What's the first thing that came to mind for you when you're thinking of players that could really take a step forward as a result of maybe the role is changing or just their skill set is expanding? What are you thinking of first? Who are you thinking of first for that list?
So one of the first names that came to mind was Jordan Poole. Because Jordan Poole, first of all, if you look at the numbers from rookie year to sophomore year, he was averaging more points in fewer minutes, improved his three-point shot. And at the end of last season, he really started to come on as sort of like that six-man spark plug for the Warriors. So heading into this year, he's obviously a year older, a year wiser, just natural development stuff. And I think, you know, the Warriors are probably going to have to lean on him quite a bit until Klay Thompson returns. And I think even after Klay Thompson comes back from the torn Achilles, because I can't imagine Klay comes back and is just immediately, Clay. I have to imagine there's going to be some maintenance program there. So, yeah, the opportunity is going to be there. He seems to just be getting better and better. So he was one of my first guys when you brought this topic up for me.
That's a good pick, man. And, you know, Jordan isn't that old of a guy yet. He's only 22 years old. He only has 2 years of experience, as you mentioned before. And I think he has a chip on his shoulder as being the former 28th pick in the 2019 draft, a guy coming in 6'4". He, you know, I'm looking at his basketball reference page, and his nickname is the Microwave on this website. So that should tell you all you need to know about his skill set and what he brings to the Warriors. And they're going to need that, man. And, you know, Curry and Clay, they have a lot of miles on their body. They've been through a lot of battles together. Clay is coming off of two devastating injuries. He's going to need time to get back in the rhythm. So that puts more pressure on their second unit to come out there, provide scoring. Because that was a weak point for the Warriors last season, was their bench, their depth. They're going to need more of that. And I think Jordan, coming off the season where, you know, he shot 35% from three on a good amount of attempts, he's going to be that guy they look to when things get stagnant in the absence of Curry or Clay in their lineups.
Right. It's interesting. You wouldn't think a team with Steph Curry on it would struggle offensively, but that was sort of the problem last year because they didn't have anyone besides Steph. One of the things I'm really looking forward to is the influence of Andre Iguodala's return, because I think obviously, you know, vet presence, that's always good for the young guys. But I think on the court-wise, assuming there is a role for Iguodala, which I think there will be, I think that takes a lot of the playmaking pressure off Poole, where if he's the first guard off the bench, maybe – you know, maybe intentional or not, but he probably feels like he has to get everyone involved and whatnot. But if he's playing alongside Iguodala, sort of leading the second unit, you could lean on the former finals MVP to just sort of take care of the playmaking role as he's done in the past. And if you're Jordan Poole, you could just do what you do best, which is put the ball in the basket.
Exactly. I think that's like a big role that somebody like, you know, Iggy definitely did have that influence for them when he was there. And he spent those years in Miami, and he definitely provided that. But I don't think that team needed that playmaking from him as much as the Warriors do now. You know, Miami already had guys like Jimmy Butler and Bam to provide that playmaking presence. The Warriors, I mean, a lot of those guys are scoring oriented, like Poole. So great points all around. Definitely agree with that. And you know, I'm curious to see how much he has left in the tank. Like, I don't know how much he's going to play in the regular season necessarily. You know, he might be at that 20-25 minute mark or something like that, but it is a nice homecoming. I think he'll provide a presence that that team in particular needs, considering the other pieces on the roster and exactly what they bring to the table.
Right, you've got to imagine he's also just going to be naturally invigorated by going back to Golden State. Right, that's the funny thing. Like, it's a beautiful homecoming, but I have no idea how much he has left in the tank.
Yeah.
But if you're the Warriors, like, how much can you like save him for the playoffs? When, as we just saw last year, playoffs aren't a guarantee for them anymore.
True. True. They're right there, man. They couldn't quite get over the hump. So hopefully with the return of Clay, that's a possibility for them. You know, a team that's definitely, definitely.
Times have changed in like 3 years.
This is not the Warriors of old where they can just kind of waltz into the finals. Definitely not. But if we're looking at teams that are really trying to make a push for the playoffs, you know, I think there's a lot of pressure on New Orleans, and they made some tweaks in their lineup to their roster this past offseason in an effort to do so. And it really made me think of a guy that made some strides last season that could be in line for a leap. For me, Nickeil Alexander-Walker is one player I'm thinking that could take a jump. You know, they're going to need some scoring. They're going to need some production in the second unit. If Zion's off the floor, if Ingram's off the floor, they're going to need somebody to kind of come in and provide more of that scoring punch. So that's where I see a role for Alexander-Walker. Going back to last season, you know, he was shut down for a good amount of time. He lost maybe a dozen games or so due to injury. But in the 23 games before that, you know, he averaged 14.5 points on 39% from three. So he really got comfortable as like a spark plug, really providing that 3-point presence. You know, he can come off the bench. You know, I think he could possibly start at times next season, depending on how Josh Hart and guys like Zadaransky kind of fit into that rotation. But New Orleans is looking for, you know, Zion and Ingram are givens on any given night. I think Valanciunas will also be a guy that you know what you're going to get. But that second wave, I think that's where Alexander Walker is going to really kind of make his mark. If he can come in and average 15, 16 points a game, that's exactly what that team needs. And as a 6'6", you know, longer guard slash forward, I think he can slot in and provide exactly what that team is looking for, you know, in their chase for, you know, their first playoff appearance in a few years.
Yeah, when you said the Pelicans, I mean, he wasn't on my list, but the second you said Pelicans, I was like, oh, it's going to be Nickeil Alexander-Walker. God, that entire Pelicans team is just, it's such a mess. Like, I don't know where Alexander Walker fits on that team because he didn't, you know, he's not a knockdown three-point shooter. And when you have Zion and Ingram, that's really what you need. So, does he come off the bench? I don't know. Like, I don't know what that team's deal is. The one thing I think that works in his favor is the size and the length. So maybe his minutes are come at the defensive end because, you know, first of all, big guards are always of value. But then if you're New Orleans in particular, you're probably going to wind up starting Devontae Graham. So to have that balance with Graham and Alexander Walker, like maybe that's how Alexander Walker makes his mark in year three.
Yeah, I can definitely see that happening. I mean, in this team definitely needs some defensive presence. So if somebody can step up and give them a little bit of that, you know, Graham is probably not going to be that guy. You know, Josh Hart can definitely get in there and fight a little bit. But for Walker, I think that's something he can grow into. Like maybe a 3-and-D piece for that team is his future or what he can grow into once he starts getting a little more consistent from three. Of course, as you mentioned, you know, he's not a knockdown 3-point shooter. He still has to work on that a little bit. You know, and going back to last season, you know, 35%, like he's average. So he might not grow into a guy that's like, you know, a crazy good shooter, but as a streaky 3-point shooter that can come in and give you some minutes on the other end, I think that's well within the realm of possibility for him. And I think there's going to be minutes to go around because that backcourt is just kind of like you alluded to it. It's like jumbled, you know, this roster doesn't have a lot of like continuity, man. It's just whoever they can go and find.
It's such a mess. I don't get it. Sometimes I think about how they went from Lonzo Ball and Jrue Holiday to Devontae Graham in the backcourt, and I just start laughing.
It's funny. Aransky. I'm just like, okay, well.
Right, it's Aransky and
we'll see how that works.
Oh, man. Okay, back to me now for my second guy.
Yeah, what you thinking, man?
So I was thinking, so this is a guy who has sort of talked a lot, sort of indirectly, but also directly about wanting a bigger role. And now he has it in Washington. It's Kyle Kuzma. We know, obviously, about his rookie season where he averaged, you know, 16 a game, had these big scoring nights. Then LeBron comes, then AD comes, and now he sort of has to shift his role. So now it just really just is a matter of like, all right, man, this is what you want. You know, they obviously have Bradley Beal, and he's going to be the focal point of the offense. But after that, like, points are there for the taking. So the opportunity, I think, is definitely going to be there. And I think Washington is definitely going to try and promote him as one of the younger guys with all this untapped potential. Some may even think star potential. I don't know about that much. So the opportunity is definitely going to be there. We've seen that the talent is there. So then I just think when you combine those two things, like, I don't know if the breakout's going to happen, but, like, you know, it's just, you know, this is – if you're Kuzma, like, this is what you wanted. So
exactly.
Time will tell.
Exactly, man. You know, for Kuzma's kind of statistics, you know, going back, that rookie season was like an eye-opener for a lot of people. It's like the Lakers got another steal in the draft. You know, this is a bona fide scoring machine. You know, this is what he does. And I agree with you, man. Bringing in those two stars for LA, I think it knocked him kind of off balance a little bit in terms of his role and his impact on that team. I don't think he could really do what he had gotten accustomed to doing in his rookie season, which is just put the ball in the bucket and just, you know, be a reliable presence from deep. 37% is where he fell year one. 2 years, two and three, he was in the lower 30% range. So he kind of, you know, his role shifted and I don't think he took well to that. Last season, he got back on track a little bit, back up at 37% again. So I've been talking on Twitter for a good while about, like, I don't think Kuzma is going to be, he can't reach his potential on the Lakers roster. It's going to have to come from somewhere else. This is it, man. So, you know, Kuzma had a rough playoff series. And, you know, in this mind, he's probably like, man, like, I just need more of a role or whatever. It's like, here you go, man. Just do something with it. Prove us wrong. Prove to us you're still the player that we thought you were in year one, where he was being compared to, like, Jason Tatum. He's like, oh, you know, who's better? Like, I'm sure you remember that one. It seems like forever ago. And it's still preposterous to me.
I do. Yeah, I mean, he averages almost 19 a game in his second season. The three-point shot sort of tailed off, but shot pretty well on twos. So, right, I'm certainly intrigued because this is the thing he's always wanted. So I'm definitely intrigued to see on a team that's, you know, if he puts up numbers, you have to imagine it's not going to be the kind of empty stats stuff that everyone's going to talk about. Like, the Wizards are trying to win. Like, they're trying to keep Bradley Beal in Washington. They made the, did they make the playoffs? Like, the playoffs? Yeah, they did, right. They lost to Philly. Again, it's been forever. So, yeah. Right, they're trying to obviously build up that. So, like, there's going to be just these legitimate opportunities. I'm really excited to see what he can do with it.
Me too, man, for sure. You know, he's an older guy, but sometimes it's just about your role on a team. And if that changes in your favor, you know, we see some of these guys really take off. You just need the minutes. I think of somebody like CJ McCollum back in the day, you know, when he was playing behind, Aaron Aflalo and those guys, it's like, obviously he's not going to really have that big of an impact, but once you remove kind of the guys that are kind of standing in his way towards building a bigger role, he exploded and he never looked back. So I'm sure something similar could happen to Kuzma this season for Washington.
CJ McCollum, that's a good example. That's like the example, right? He was on that loaded Blazers team with all those guys. Then all those guys left. There's him and Jam. Yeah, he exploded. And like you said, and never looked
my
back.
Time. Let's go. Yeah.
He proved it.
So I think we're all for two so far. Neither of the guys on your list were on my list.
Yeah, Kuzma. Kuzma's been like the guy of the offseason in that sense. Yeah. Kuzma for sure would be the one that we overlapped.
Yeah. I don't know why he slipped my mind, man. Like, that's a good one. And I definitely think he's going to break out. I don't know. I think I kind of skewed more towards the younger guys that just, I don't know.
He's
maybe not kind of
going old.
True, but I don't know. He's not young, but he's not old. He's kind of
he's
in that
26.
No,
he's in his prime. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
he's in his prime. That's true. He's in no man's land. I'll say that.
Yeah, that's fair.
So how about this one, man? This is a player that I'm stuck between two guys. So you gave a forward, I'll give a forward. So this, maybe I'm just too optimistic. Maybe he really is. His time has come and gone, but I can't help but feel like Marvin Bagley is going to have, he's going to take another step, man. Like, I really just feel like if he can just get that health part down, because I feel like at times last season when he was healthy, like, you saw the flashes of like, this can be somebody like a real impact player. And I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to be a star or anything, but I think it could be like a really good, like, legitimate starting forward in this league. So I went back to last season. I looked, he climbed to almost average from three last season on limited volume, 34-35%. He hasn't eclipsed 62 games played in a season yet. He hasn't eclipsed 25-26 minutes in a game yet, or per game. And then there's opportunities for him in the front court. Harrison Barnes is there. Rashaad Holmes is there. I think after that, it's like, hey, Bagley, that come in and do your thing, man. So I think if he can get to play 70 plus games, the opportunity is there for him to really assert himself and be, I think the four is going to be his position, like long-term position. But for some guys, I think it just comes down to being healthy. And maybe I'm completely wrong on this. Maybe he gets hurt again and, you know, oh well, but I don't know. I'm just, I'm really hopeful for his career for some reason. But this came to mind.
You started talking about forwards. I thought you were going to go the Andrew Wiggins route. And I was like, not again, please. No.
He was on people's list for like 5 years, man. I think his time is coming gone.
Exactly. I don't know with Bagley. Like, you're right. Like, you want to give him some benefit of doubt because he's never been healthy. So, like, let's assume he's healthy, even though that's not a guarantee. But I don't know. I've never been the biggest Bagley fan. I just don't really know where he fits on a court in the modern NBA. Like, he doesn't shoot threes all that well. He's 34% on over 100 attempts last year, so that's a good, like, you know, step. But, you know, he's going to have to obviously prove that a bit more. So he doesn't really shoot the three well. He doesn't really defend all that well in any position, whether in space. He doesn't protect the rim. I don't know where it's going to come from. And I think there's going to be minutes for him, but not, you know, as much as maybe he needs. Because, again, you have Harrison Barnes and you have Rashaad Holmes, and those two guys seem like the guys in the front court. So it's not like Bagley's going to have, you know, just full reign to, you know, learn from his mistakes, especially in year four. So I just I'm a little bit more skeptical. Again, and this is all assuming that he stays healthy, which through 3 years he just hasn't really proven. So, I don't want any young player to fail or get out of the league. I've never really understood the appeal. Certainly, I never understood why Kings took him over Luka Doncic. But it's just,
oh man,
three years in. I don't know.
No, valid concerns, man. And I know that, you know, I could just be a little over-optimistic, but I don't know. I just see tools from him, you know, athletic tools that he think he can leverage into, you know, a solid role, is a guy that can come in and be like your starting four. And I don't know, maybe he just needs a new team. Like maybe Sacramento is just not the place where he's going to have the opportunities, or, you know, because Sacramento is not, I would say, it's the best place to develop. But it's one of those guys that I don't want to give up on yet. Like after this season, that might be where I kind of like let it go, but I'll hold on for one more year. I'm feeling confident for him. I'm hopeful, but we'll see. We'll see.
I think it might be where the Kings let it go also after the season. if he doesn't do it.
True. Like this is his this his fourth season or is
this fourth season? Okay. This is coming up in his fourth season. Yeah. So this is like when, you know, he obviously didn't sign any extension this offseason. Yeah. I can't imagine he does between now and the start of the season.
Nope.
And so then you talk about hitting restricted free agency next year. And I have no doubt that a team's going to take a flyer on the number two overall pick. It's just that, like, if you're Sacramento, right, like you said, like, it might just come down to, like, kind of like with Lauri Markkanen, where, like, you see the talent and injuries have played a part, but, like, he just needs a fresh start somewhere.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's try again, man. Give me a third player, and let's see if we can get a match here on this one.
Okay, third player I have is someone who was on a lot of breakout lists last year. It's OG Anunoby. Is he on your list?
Not on my list. Oh. I probably had him like last year.
Everyone had him last year.
But I am a huge OG fan, so
yeah,
I'm in his fan club. I registered his rookie year, so I've been here for a while.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers, you know, increased scoring-wise. Three-point shot was there. You could sort of see, like, he was getting more comfortable handling the ball. Part of the problem was that he didn't, like, many of the players on the Raptors last year, he just didn't play in a lot of games, only 43 out of a 72. So that was definitely a part of it. But the numbers still look good. And you just have to imagine, like, he's just gotten better every single year. And that's just part of, like, the Raptors' development culture. And you look at the Raptors where they lose Kyle Lowry, so there's going to be more ball handling opportunities available. And with Pascal Siakam, sort of like, I don't know what he's at, where he's at right now. Like he's, you know, like his just whole confidence, whole thing is up in the air. I don't know. He was one of the brightest stars league now, not so much. I don't know. There's going to be opportunity for Anunoby, and he's shown a lot with the touches he's been given. So I have no doubt that he's going to be breakout on offensive end while continuing to be an elite defender.
Absolutely, man. And I've read a couple of pieces on OG this offseason, and you're not the only person that's bullish on his future. Looking at already what he brings to the table as a versatile defender, somebody that's really good as just when he gets downhill, like it's hard to like get this man off course. Like he puts his shoulder into people and it's a game over a lot of times. The three-point shot has come around. You know, it's a huge asset. But the main part of his game that needs to be refined is like the ball handling, of course. If he can create his own shot a little bit more and not rely so much on other people, that's going to help a ton because Lowry is out of there. Like Siakam, like you said, we don't know what his long-term future is going to be with this team. So they're going to rely on OG. He's going to get a lot of touches, a lot of opportunities. And if he can harness all his tools into, you know, something a little bit more potent as far as like self-creation, like, man, the sky's the limit for him. So I think a piece that I read kind of gave like a variety of outcomes for him. So it's like they said like, oh, you know, if he doesn't get any better from this point on, he's already a very valuable 3-and-D kind of like wing that can play the 3 or the 4. But if those other aspects kind of fall in line and he gets better as like a creator, a passer, somebody like that, you know, you're talking about maybe like a borderline all-star, you know, for a team that could really use a guy like that. So I'm totally in agreement. Like he has another level to reach, I think. And I just love watching him play, man, because he's just one of those kind of like glue guys, somebody like Mikal Bridges that every team needs. You can never have too many guys like OG Anunoby.
That is true. Look, the Raptors, have had a lot of guys break out with them. Siakam, VanVleet. Who's to say Ananobi's not next? I think he is.
True. True. The Raptors development team, like, they work wonders, man. So I would not be surprised at all if he's on that list. So I have a guy that his semi breakout came in the playoffs last year. You know, he had a game that really kind of put his name on the map. This is Terrence Mann for the Los Angeles Clippers.
Game, I was like, oh, he's going to say Terrence Mann.
Yep. He was the man last season for the Clippers, pun intended. He got legitimate minutes, exploded for 39 points in that game 6 against Utah, put his name on the map. He has upside as a two-way, like, he's a little more off-ball. Like, I wouldn't say he's like a pointer or anything. I think he's more of like a small wing. But as a guy that you can bring in and not have a lapse in defense, that can get his own shot, as he displayed in the playoffs, like, if you can have a performance like that against the Utah Jazz in a closeout game, I think you prove to people that, like, you're a good source of offense. I don't think that's a fluke. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to average 30 points a game, but they need somebody like that, because Kawhi Leonard is going to miss, if not the whole season, he's going to miss a large chunk of it. So after Paul George, after Marcus Morris, it's like, who's going to come in and provide that spark plug for us? They have Bledsoe. That's good. But I think Terrence Mann, you know, whether it's starting or coming off the bench, there is a need for somebody like him. And I think he's going to provide that for a team that is going to need somebody to kind of compensate for Kawhi's absence. So that's what led me to believe he can be like a kind of like a breakout player, because there's more minutes to go around. There's a role that needs to be filled. And I think his confidence is on 99 after his performance in the playoffs. Across all the rounds that they played in the playoffs, I think he really had his coming out party in certain times. So that's the Lemina Man. I'm really excited about what he's going to bring to the table for the Clippers in another season where they really need his production.
That game 6 is still one of just the most remarkable, unbelievable things I've ever seen. Like, this sort of semi nobody player comes in, scores 39, takes the Clippers to their first conference finals ever. Him and Bruce Brown are, like, I sort of compare the two because they're both these undersized guys who will literally just do, just like, they're just like everywhere. They just are everywhere. Like, they hustle, they set screens, they roll to the basket, they get offensive rebounds, they shoot threes. They're just like sort of these, you know, good at everything, not great at anything type of players. And like you said, right, like, there's obviously going to be minutes and touches without Kawhi Leonard. I don't think Kawhi Leonard's going to play this season. I just don't think a guy who's, you know, that, what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of conscious about his body. And, like, I think we can sort of admit that he always likes to play on the safer side with his body. I can't imagine that this dude, like, comes back in April and it's like, yeah, let's go win a championship. I just don't see it. So I think there's definitely going to be opportunities for him. And the thing I really like is that he plays for a coach that, you know, everything I just said, like, Tyronn Lue's all about that. Tyronn Lue's all about getting weird and just, like, bringing in all these bunch of different lineups. Like, that's what playing with LeBron taught him, you know, just, like, you know, not really sticking to any principles, just sort of, like, playing it as it goes. So I agree with you on that. Like, there's definitely – and, again, with the opportunity, I think Mann is going to be a good year for Terrence Mann.
Absolutely. And I'm just looking at his percentages. Like, I didn't realize that he was this efficient. I mean, I'm looking at his three-point percentage, 41, almost 42%. 1.4 attempts per game, but, you know, still pretty efficient. 54% from two. So he wasn't just a guy that just stayed on the outside. He actually got in the paint and did some stuff. 83% from the line. So, I mean, like, if you need somebody that's going to make the most of every opportunity, I think that's somebody you would identify as, like, you know, he doesn't need a bunch of touches. He doesn't need all the shots, but he's going to get good shots, you know, many possessions. So I think that's the upside there for Terrence.
Agreed. All right.
I feel it. You're going to give me a name.
One more.
It's on my list.
Talen Horton Tucker.
Oh, man. That's a good one, but I don't have him. So
incredible. I mean, this makes for a good show. For me, it just sort of comes down to, like, he has to have a breakout because the Lakers essentially chose him over Alex Caruso. Which sure, leads, sure. like, you know, the Lakers obviously very busy offseason, signed a bunch of guys. I can't wait to watch it. But you have to imagine that they envision Talen Horton-Tucker in a bigger role than he's had in the past two seasons. And we've seen what some of that talent is, you know, star of the of last year's preseason, had a couple of nice moments in the bubble, and they gave him a contract too. So you just have to imagine that, you know, even with all these guys they signed in the backcourt, like Nunn and Rondo and Monk, like, you just have to imagine they're going to, you know, go to Talen Horton-Tucker, if for no other reason than, you know, he's on the younger side, and they're going to try and rest some of their older guys. I mean, their entire team is pretty much old. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with THT.
Listen, I love podcasting. Who doesn't? The process is great until you get to the part where you have to edit and distribute your podcast. It's time-consuming, and we all love convenience. Well, here's the most convenient option possible. It's called Anchor. There's creation tools in the app that will allow you to record and edit right from your phone, tablet, or computer. It will distribute your podcast for you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other popular platforms. You can make money from your podcast with minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go to the free Anchor app or anchor.fm right now to get started. And trust me, you won't regret it.
I like that, man. I like that. He's definitely had his flashes, and he's needed to work on, like, the outside shot. I think that's the part of his game that still kind of needs to come into form. But, yeah, I mean, I think he has the inside track for minutes because they know what he brings to the table. He's had, I think, two seasons now under his belt with that franchise. They kind of know what to expect from him in general. He still has that upside. You know, the other guys they brought in, I think they know about them, but I would say that THT is going to be in line for minutes, like, right away, probably after that main unit, because, you know, they know about him. He's been there for a couple of years, and I think they're really excited to continue to develop him as they're looking for that next wave, that younger wave to come in behind the veterans. So I like that pick. I'm sorry I couldn't put that guy on my list. We didn't have any similarities there, but it happens, man. It just goes to show, like, how much talent there is in this league. It's everywhere, man.
Yeah, just one last thing on THT. He signed 3 years, $32 million contract. Like, I don't think you do that and, like, you don't give him more touches. So we'll see with him.
Yeah, it proves that they have the confidence in him to come in and play a significant role on both ends. I think he'll be one of those guys because they need somebody to come in. Like, Caruso is gone. Like, some other defensive guys from last season, the year before, are gone. So it's like, who's going to get stops? Like, I don't think Monk's getting stops. I know Kendrick Nunn's not going to get stops. Like, I've seen that.
Nobody's getting stops.
Right. So I think THT gives them the best chance, but that's definitely going to be a weak point for that team. Let's get on to the second half, man. I had a few other names, but, you know, sometimes you just can't get through your entire list.
Run through them quickly. Say them quickly.
Garland.
That's a good one.
Baisley. Porter Jr. I should have threw him out there, man. But, hey, I guess there we go. That's the one. I was looking for just one. If you can just get one similarity, then we're good. So, mission accomplished.
Yeah, I had Porter Jr. and then I had Nick Claxton ? Because I don't know what Brooklyn's rotation is going to be like.
Dude, he's going to get buried, man. They keep on signing these veteran big men. He's like, I don't feel like he's going to get enough reps.
That's why I put the question mark, because who knows?
But if he did, I would definitely.
Yeah, exactly. I have no idea with Brooklyn. They're whatever.
For sure. So let's get into this. This is what I was looking forward to, man. So I saw a list on Twitter, I think it was a week or two ago, that listed the most stressed franchises, the most stressed fan bases in the NBA. And I sent this list to you, man. We both disagree with this top 10. There's a lot of names in there, a lot of teams we disagreed with, but I wanted to throw out some names that we think will be the most stressed franchises / fan bases for a variety of reasons. Let me get a big one out of the way first. Portland.
Wait, before we start, I have a question about this. Is this stressed for the upcoming season or just like in general? Like,
I want to say it's for.
I think let's do upcoming season. Let's do upcoming season. I think it's easier to define. Yeah.
It says NBA stressed fan base is in the NBA, but let's do it.
Right.
So I think Portland, like, automatically number one. Like, if you're on the verge of losing your franchise star, that is as stressful as it gets. This was the Rockets last season, where, you know, Harden was like in and out. That's a place you never want to be as a fan, as I don't care if you're a coach, as a GM, like, you do not want to be in that position where your star is giving hints that, like, I don't really want to be here. And then as a result, I think you're kind of pressured into making moves to just try things to see what works. Like, you get Larry Nance, you go out and make signings, because the pressure is on, you to do anything you can to shake up the roster to try to give yourself a better chance. So I think that's kind of self-explanatory. I want to throw that out there. I think they're number one for me. Do you believe they're number one? Do you think any other team can match that level of stress going into the season?
No, I'd probably agree. It's like again, if we do this like heading into the season, yeah, Blaze. I mean, if they're not one, they're definitely like top three or top five for all the reasons you just said. Like, I can't imagine a scenario where Damian Lillard stays in Portland. Like, I like the Larry Nance move, but it's just they're just still so many steps behind being a legitimate contender, and so many teams have come and have passed them by. Like, I just, and it kind of like, it bums me out, because I really, I truly believe that Dame wants to be there. And I think he really, like, I don't think he was lying all the times that he said, like, he wants to, you know, retire in Portland, he's different, whatever, like, all that stuff. But it's just at a certain point, it's like, if you don't believe you have a legitimate shot at championship, that's like, what are you playing for? So to me, it just feels inevitable. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I just can't imagine anything happening where Dame is just like, yeah, I'll stay here long term and not ask out. And so if you're a Blazers fan, where, like, you know, drafting these guys is all you have, like, you're not getting a free agent, like, like, Dame requesting a trade is pretty much the end of your relevancy. I mean, they were very fortunate to go from, you know, that sort of, they went from Brandon Roy to LaMarcus Aldridge to Damian Lillard kind of seamlessly, if you think about it.
It really was.
Because, like, Aldridge overlapped with Roy, and then Lillard overlapped with Aldridge. But now, like, you know, once this deal, I mean, and again, in fairness, maybe it depends on whatever they get back. Like, if they get back an established guy, maybe things are a bit different. But, there's a lot of stress going on.
Definitely. But I don't think we can count out, you know, another team that looks like they're on the verge of, you know, losing a guy. Philadelphia, I think, has got a rough, man. Mm-hmm. Like, Philly fans, I think they're just constantly on edge. From what I can see on Twitter, like,
they're just ready to defend
their team. Yeah. I understand. Like, if you're about to lose, if, you know, Ben Simmons had that horrendous playoff appearance, and Embiid is, like, made of glass, it seems like, sometimes, and, like, everything rests on him, and you just don't know if he's going to make it through the season, man, I would feel all the stress, man. That's another place you don't want to be. It's rough.
I mean, Philly fans in general are known to not be, you know, the nicest fans, the most calm and considerate fans out there.
I think that's a good take.
Yeah, I think that's, I think even they would say it too. that's like, you know, just like flatline general baseline emotions, and then you throw in what's going on with the Sixers. I mean, the Ben Simmons stuff is, it's very strange, and it's a bummer, and it's a sad way for this to end. And, like, I mean, like, for Philly, it's just been, like, such a long journey for the Sixers, dating back to, like, when Sam Hinkie first got, you know, came aboard. Like, normally you can't track a sort of contender's journey this far, but, like, it's just been such a journey. And to see, like, you know, the whole thought was always like, well, this is gonna, you know, help us at least, if not win a championship, then, like, legitimately contend. But as long as Simmons is on the team, it's not gonna happen. But now you're at a point where it's like, what are we gonna get back for Simmons? I know Daryl Morey thinks it's a lot. It's not gonna be what he thinks. Like, they're at this crossroads moment that I can't really see working out for them, barring, like, Dame asking out or Beal asking out. And even then, like, I don't know if either team is gonna want Ben Simmons.
Yeah, man, I just keep thinking about possible destinations for him, and it doesn't seem like there's, like, a team that's like, oh, this is the perfect fit. Like, I want to say the closest. No. Like, especially with a guy with his skill set, like, it's hard to make that work. Like, it has to be a very specific type of lineup they can put around him in order to have success. And I think we agreed on this, man. I think that Minnesota was a team that we agreed would be like a somewhat good fit for him with Towns. I think that would be a fun pairing to watch in action together. But then you have the question. It's like, okay, well, do you send out D'Angelo for him? You know, we know D'Angelo and Towns have the relationship. That can get tricky. Does Philly want D'Angelo? Like, there's just still like a lot of different hurdles. Is that, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's going to be a no on that one.
No, Philly. So, right. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think it would look, if I'm Minnesota, the only two players I'm keeping, like, are off limits are Towns and Edwards. Beyond that, take whoever you want, even if it's Russell. Yeah. But yeah, if you're Philly, like, do I want D'Angelo Russell as the headliner return for Ben Simmons? No, but again, like that's, to me, it's the entire Ben Simmons issue where, like, in a vacuum, you could see, like, hey, he's really good. Like, yeah, he's a 25-year-old three-time All-Star, incredible defender. But, like, when you talk about trying to fit him with four other players, like, there aren't that many scenarios that work for him. And so, like, if you're one of the 29 other teams, like, I'm not trying to make that work. I don't care how talented he is. Like, you know, talent might be good for the regular season, but especially if you're one of these contenders or playoff contenders trying to take the next step, like, you really believe Ben Simmons is the guy to get you over the hump. He might be good for one of those, like, you know, like in Orlando, to help them in their continuous pursuit of the eighth seed. But, like, just in terms of legitimate contention, I just don't know. To me, it's still kind of frustrates me that they probably could have traded essentially Ben Simmons for James Harden. And now we're at this point where it's like, you'd be lucky to get pennies on the dollar, but oh, well,
doesn't always pay to wait. And then that's the tough part about it. It seems like if you're trying to trade Simmons to a less established team, then it's like, okay, he helps you maybe fast track to success, but there's still going to be question marks there. Like, do they even want a guy like him? You know, does Orlando want to do that? Like, do they want to have a more kind of organic growth with draft picks? And then on the other side, it's like, if you try to trade him to a Minnesota, like, teams that we know are trying to push towards playoffs and things like that, it's like, okay, does he make sense? Like, do the teams have what the other piece wants? Like, Sacramento was a team that was thrown in there a little bit. And for them, it's like, okay, well, that would be a good guy to have. I think Sacramento would entertain that trade, but it's like, oh, we're not going to give up Fox or Halliburton. And then in that case, it's like, well, what do you have left that we want? Like, Bagley? Like, Field? Then we run into the same problem. So that's where the stress comes from. You have a guy you need to get off of, just don't know how to make it happen. Hate it for him, man.
I'm so glad Philly held on to Tyrese Maxey for this.
Yeah.
Like, you could have had James Harden, and it was like, no, Tyrese Maxey and, like, two draft picks. That's where we draw the line. Now look at it. Just like, it's James Harden. Stop overthinking it. They did. Now they're here.
Sometimes it goes like that, man. Like, hey, if you can get somebody of a certain caliber, it should be a no-brainer, like, no matter what you have to give up. So
get the thing, get the tangible thing. If you're a championship contender with Joel Embiid on your team, get the thing, get the current, you know, MVP caliber player.
Yep. Absolutely.
Sounds like common sense, but apparently not.
Apparently not. Like, some franchises don't get it. So then that's what brings us to today. But tell me this, man, do you believe that the Clippers would be a top five most stressed fan base, considering Kawhi's injury and, you know, the pressure to win a championship?
I don't know how they feel coming off this season or coming into this season, just because, like, Kawhi's not playing. And again, I'm of the belief that I think he's shut down for the entire season. Right, so, like, what expectations can you really have? It's a bummer because you're essentially throwing away a year of the franchise, of, you know, what limited contention years you have. But I mean, look, they have the joy of last year's playoff run. I think that'll get them till maybe, like, January, at which point you hope Paul George is making, like, a fringe MVP run. I don't know. I can't imagine that expectations are so high for the Clippers this year, because obviously their best player isn't playing. And again, maybe there's some people who believe he's going to try and make his way back. I think those people might be a bit more stressed, but if you're like me and you, like, who just don't believe Kawhi is going to come back, you just sort of like, okay, this is an unfortunate wasted year for the Clippers.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I threw them in the mix because of, you know, I mean, this team was built to win championships. And, you know, if you're in a year where you're not sure that's going to be a possibility and, you know, your guys are getting older, you know, they're both on the wrong side of 30 now, you know, PG and Kawhi, you know that your window is not going to be open forever. And PG has shown that at times he can, you know, have some injuries. Kawhi, it seems like every now and then he gets hit with something. I think that would make me a little bit stressed. I know maybe not, you know, 9 out of 10 stressed, but a little bit, because I know what the team is trying to do. And then, you know, this is going to like year three of this like championship, almost championship or bust mentality. So that's why I threw him in there. Just I thought about it from that perspective.
That's fair. That's a fair perspective.
For sure. How about the Pelicans, man? How are you feeling about the Pelicans?
I feel they're probably top three. Oh my god, what are they
out for, man?
Doing? You get like I said before, you go from Jrue Holiday and Lonzo Ball to Devontae Graham and Thomas Satoransky. And like, did they really fix their spacing issues? I mean, Devontae Graham, yeah, I guess. But like,
maybe a little bit. But
yeah, but like, you still have a giant big man in the middle who's more skilled offensively than Steven Adams. But right. Valanciunas, I don't know if he's – I know the percentage is good, but the volume – again, maybe. I don't really know with him. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But,
right.
I mean, look, what is he – yeah, he's the extension talks will come next summer, and all this talk about him taking the qualifying offer. Look, odds are he probably doesn't take the qualifying offer, but just from my perspective, like – you know, every time we're in sort of an era of the NBA where every time we say like, oh, this would never happen, it winds up happening. Oh, Durant's, you know, first with LeBron going to the Heat. Oh, that would never happen. Then Durant going to the Warriors. Then this Nets team gets like maybe the most talented big three of all time. Like, we just keep seeing these boundaries pushed on what we thought teams and players could do in this era of player empowerment. And so I just assume like the logical next step is a superstar player saying, hey, look, I already have plenty of money, which Zion does. Like, he has so many endorsements. This team, not only is it not good, there's no, like, future that I can see where we become a contender. New Orleans is not a big market, and it's not even one of the good small markets. It's a football town. That's a fact. Yeah. So, like, I'm not going to sit here and say Zion's going to take the qualifying offer because I obviously don't know, but just, like, it kind of wouldn't surprise me, honestly, just because of everything I just mentioned.
Can you imagine if Zion actually did take the qualifying offer?
Knicks.
It doesn't matter if it's Pelicans, Twitter, the NBA Twitter, going crazy. Because I mean, Zion is like box office. So this is not like, I don't know, some random like draft pick, mid-level pick or whatever, saying I want out. It's like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, this is one of the biggest draws in the NBA. Like, he could be in line to be the face of the NBA at some point in his career. That would just shake the core of the NBA if that were to happen.
If Zion takes the qualifying offer, so those reports are going to come out whatever day. The next day, the reports are going to come out that Adam Silver has filed the Pelicans to be relocated to Seattle.
He's going to be like, oh, no. We can't have
this. We're done. We tried it. We gave him Chris Paul. We gave him Anthony Davis. We gave him Zion. It's done. Seattle, you get him.
You tried and you failed. Next.
Three of this generation's greatest players. And
yeah.
Like, come on. Right. People are saying the Knicks didn't deserve Zion. Come on.
Yeah. Dude, when he was drafted, like, I had expectations for him to be like the next out of generational player. Like, that's how highly I thought of him. So, like, for him to pull a move like that, I mean, that changes everything in the NBA. Like, because 99.9% of the time, like, guys in that position don't do that. So, like, if he breaks the mold, that could set a domino effect in motion where guys coming behind him that are a similar status, maybe they have the same thought. So it's like there's even less security now with these franchises keeping their draft picks. So that would cause mayhem, man. Like, I'm here for it because I'm all for change and, you know, player
chaos movement. Is fun.
Chaos is fun, man.
Yeah, for us, maybe not for the teams.
Not for the Pelicans. Oh, no.
No, not for the Pelicans. At the same time, if you're the Pelicans, like, you just haven't handled this right. You haven't handled any of it right. Like, literally since Zion got there, like, there's no – anyway, it's, for me at least, like, if I were in that position, like, yeah, I would obviously want to be good right away. But again, like, there's just no – like, I don't even see the future. Like, the future just doesn't look – good, especially with the moves they made. Like, there's no, like, well, in 2 or 3 years, like, I don't see that, and I can't imagine Zion does either. So, yeah, Pelicans got to be up there with the extension and potential qualifying offer stuff coming up next summer. Yeah, play-in is a must. Playoffs, also probably a must.
Absolutely, man. They have to at least be in the play-in. Like, you have to be knocking on the door, because then otherwise – because the hints are there. There's already whispers that, you know, Zion's camp or whatever it is, like, unhappy. Because if you're getting that, and a guy has played, like, I mean, how many career games has he played? Like, he probably hasn't.
I don't even know if it's 82.
I don't think so. I mean, I was definitely going to say, like, under 100, so.
It's 85. He's played 85 career games.
He hasn't even played 100 games, man. And there's just chatter already. So that's a bad position to be in. And I mean, I was really hopeful like this time last year, because, you know, you're looking at like the picks they have, you're looking at all the assets. I was like, okay, cool. They're in a good position, but it's like, they don't utilize their assets that well. We've seen the past year. So that's why we're here.
Extending Steven Adams is one of the most mind-boggling front office decisions I've seen in recent years.
That killed them, man. Because then they had to compensate lose picks this year to try to make up for it. We all knew as soon as it was signed, it's like, that's not a good decision, man. Like, you might want to run that back.
Like, you want to trade for him? I kind of understand the trade for Steve Adams from the standpoint of, like, the Lakers had just won the title with, like, this overpowering cruising front court. But, like, you just have no need to give him those 2 years. Yeah. Like, wait and see if it works. And I guarantee no other team is giving him $17 million. I don't know why you gave him $17 million a year, but they did, and now they're in this position.
Now it's big yikes. So big yikes. All the pressure, man, all the pressure. One last team, man. Who's stressed right now? Who needs to go for therapy and go to the store, get their favorite snacks, and maybe chill out a little bit, because – anxiety is like on 10 right now.
I mean, there's a few teams I could think of. Like, I think the Jazz might be there, just because, like, you know,
I had them there.
You have this embarrassing second round defeat where, like, you have this golden opportunity to get to the conference finals, and then, like, you know, you're playing Phoenix. I don't know, they probably could have beaten Phoenix, and then to get to the finals, like, with Kawhi Leonard out, and then you lose back-to-back games, you have 25 in games, like, just super embarrassing. And they obviously don't have so much room to make all these moves with, you know, you have Mitchell signed to long-term, Gobert, you just re-signed Conley. I know there were talks of them moving Ingles, but again, that's not, like, he's a good player and he's a big part of what they do. So, like, moving off of him, yeah, you get more money, but, like, you just lose a good player. So, like, I don't know, like, this sort of, this past year felt like their year where they're the one seed, you know, when they were playing really well, and then they have this golden opportunity, Kawhi going down. Like, I have to imagine Jazz fans were really stressed, because if it doesn't work out this year, I mean, I think already they're in this sort of, like, no man's land of, like, what are we supposed to do to get better? Besides, I guess, just hope Donovan Mitchell continues to improve. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like, they're just sort of, they are who they are.
Exactly. They threw their chips in. I think the past couple of years, they really made a point of retaining their players. I mean, they retained Conley this offseason. So you're bringing in, you're settled on this core. So all you can do is maybe trade some of the other main rotation pieces. But, like, where does that get you exactly? Gobert's extension's kicking in. So, I mean, they're up in the tax. I mean, you're up in that territory with the Lakers and the teams like that, the Warriors. Like, you are, you know, capped out. So you can't really make moves unless they're on the margins. So I agree. I mean, I do like that pickup of I think they got Jeff Green recently to bring him to that team. I think that's going to be huge for him. They made a couple of signings. Or no, it was not Jeff Green.
I think you mean Rudy Gay.
Rudy Gay. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Jeff Green went to Denver.
I knew it was like a a certain type of player. Like, I was thinking like a stretch four or something like that. I was like, you know. So, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, Rudy Gay should be a good pickup for him. But, like, I don't know, man. This is they're just going to work with what they got, and hopefully they can find a way to break through. But, I mean, if they're going up against a full – I don't know. I still think they can make the finals, but there's not a lot they can do if they don't, essentially. So that's where the stress comes from.
Right. I think they could, too. I mean, I don't know if I'd pick them against the Lakers, but it's just like – like, they're at this point now where, like, I don't know how many regular season wins you get. I'm not giving you the benefit out of everything.
But, yeah, to close out this conversation, man, I think we got a good glimpse of, like, those, I think, five franchises we discussed. And I think it just comes down to one or two scenarios. Like, you're a team that's on the doorstep of a championship, but you haven't been able to get over the hump. And then if you have a player that wants out, then, you know, you have to try to find trade packages and kind of scramble. That puts a lot of stress on all parties. So I think that's the two commonalities I saw with the teams that we were talking about here.
Speaking of players who might want out, can we talk about the Mavericks, who, like, could argue are maybe in a similar situation to the Pelicans? Well, I mean, they've at least made the playoffs these last couple of years, so there's that.
Right.
But, like, their team, again, there's just a lot of question marks. The Porzingis thing, you know, as a co-star to Luka, that hasn't exactly worked out how they thought. And so then, like, that's obviously hamstrung them a lot because they gave him like $150 million. And this past year was very strange for them. They were really affected by COVID. I remember at one point they were like seven or so games below 500. I was thinking the Knicks might get, you know, two top five picks. But then both teams actually wound up being better than expected. But yeah, like, I think if we're going to talk about Zion maybe taking a qualifying offer. Oh, wait, no, what am I saying? Luka already signed this deal?
Yeah, yeah. He just wants the bag, man. He's just like, no, just give me the money.
But you know what? Okay, so first of all, that's on me. But also, like, again, we live in an era where, like, stars, again, like I said, like, stars are constantly pushing the boundaries on what we thought they would do. So, like, you know, a guy would never ask out after just signing a five-year max contract. Who the hell knows anymore? Okay, so Dallas, you know, loses in the first round again. Again, maybe it won't happen this year, but it's just, I guess my entire point is, you know, Mavericks, they have this top 10 player right now. Like, he's top 10 at worst. So, like, they got to start winning. They got to start, you know, getting this second round beyond. And if they don't do that, exactly. So that's where I'm at with Dallas.
Totally agree, man. I didn't have them on my list, but that's a good case for them to be on the list. So on this, the list I saw on Twitter, the Mavericks were 10. Pretty low, I think. Well, they're 10, so. They're top 10, so.
What are the Magic doing at 9?
I have no idea.
You're looking what are the zero. Cavs doing at 3?
Yeah, these teams are like, I mean, the Cavs, like, I see there's a little bit of stress because they want to start making a push, but not 3. I wouldn't. That's pushing a little bit.
Yeah, but Bulls being at 30 is flat lie because same thing. Like, they're trying to start making the playoffs, sign all these guys.
Right.
Jazz be 26? No, for the reason I just mentioned.
Absolutely not. But if you guys want to go check out that list for yourselves, it's on the NBA Central Twitter page. And then I think Beatus.com kind of posted that initially. So that's where the list is at. If you want to make your criticisms and check that out for yourself, that's where you can find it. But I think we're kind of at the end of our conversation, man. Like, there's 30 teams here, but I think we touched on the five or six that are definitely in a position of major stress. But always a good time, man. Love joining on the mic with you and bringing you in and just seeing what's going on in the NBA, man. So I appreciate your time. And why don't you let the listeners know where they can find you if they want to check out your work and maybe tell them about what you got going on at Medium.
Yeah. So first off, doing stuff for Celtics blog. So if you like Celtics, want to read about the Celtics, you can go over there. And yeah, as Aaron said, started my own blog on Medium. Both of those, by the way, you could find on my Twitter page in the description. Yeah, so again, it's basketball, though I guess it's not so much basketball now because not so much going on. It's entertainment stuff, so it's movies, it's TV shows, it's whatever going on right now. Like, I'm reviewing the second season of Ted Lasso, which has been amazing. I did The Suicide Squad, Black Widow. I'm going to do Shang-Chi when I go and see it. And just, like, general life stuff, you know, whatever I think of. So all that can be found on the blog. Again, blog, Celtic stuff, both be found in the description of my Twitter. That's my plug.
Love it, man. Absolutely love it. Keep doing your thing, man, especially the Marvel content. Like, I'm going to see Shang-Chi tomorrow, so,
I'm ready for it, man. My, like, Marvel guy, I don't know what is, like, he doesn't even know where he's going to be this weekend. He might be away, so I don't know.
Oh, man. Dude. No shortage of content over there, man. So, if you guys are like me and you want to get some reviews, you want to get some analysis, some of this stuff, I guess I'll point this way. Daniel's your guy you want to see for this.
Thank you. You're too kind. Yes, please come over to the site. Yes, more views, the better.
Love it, man. For Business Casual, you can find us at BC Basketball 2 at Twitter and Instagram. And then bcbasketball.info is our website if you want to check out some of our content and resources for you guys to check out. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in for another episode. We're always happy to have you. As always, we'll be back next week with more NBA analysis, more spicy takes, more crazy top 10 lists, and things of that nature. So until next time, guys, enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy this offseason until we get back to the regular NBA season. And we'll see you soon. Take care.
T-minus 2 months.